The following program is a presentation of the FlyPod New Media Network, www.theflypod.com.
Hello, and welcome to the Did You Know Show. I am your host, Alex Parnuk, and together we'll attempt to resolve some of the most complex problems on the planet, but in a very common sense sort of way, something that seems to be sorely missing in this age of media information overload. In doing this show, one would ask, why have I committed myself to this task? The plain and simple answer is, I want to get information to you that seems to be missing and not provided in the old media. So join me in the show through your interaction by providing comments, suggestions, and if necessary, criticism when you don't agree. You can contact me at shout@theflypod.com. Welcome back to my continuing series on the various departments of the executive branch of government. Today's show features that department known as the Department of Veterans Affairs, but previously known as the Veterans Administration. The United States government has taken upon itself the responsibility for taking care of our veterans since the beginning of the founding of our country in 1776. Now, the mission of the VA, from their own website, I quote, to fulfill President Lincoln's promise, and these are his words, to care for him who shall have borne the battle and for his widow and his orphan by serving and honoring the men and women who are America's veterans. Additionally, the VA focuses on four core values: integrity, commitment, advocacy, respect, and excellence. Did you know that the original Continental Congress encouraged Americans to enlist in the war against the British by providing pensions for soldiers who were disabled during their service? Did you also know, during those early years, there was not an organization called the Veterans Assistance, but in those early formative years, assistance was provided through the military, the various state-run homes for veterans. After World War I, programs for disability compensation, insurance for service persons and veterans, and vocational rehabilitations for disabled veterans were legislated. But no single organizational unit was established until 1930, when the Consolidation Act was passed by Congress, bringing together the Veterans Bureau, the Bureau of Pensions, and the National Home for Disabled Soldiers. This unified those three separate units run by various departments of the government under the formal organization known today as the Department of Veterans Affairs. Now, after World War II and large increases in the veteran population, additional benefits were enacted by Congress to not only take care of the aging vets from World War I, who numbered approximately 4 million, but also an additional World War II population of 15 million vets. In 1944, the World War II GI Bill was passed and signed. This legislation gave veterans assistance with regard to education. From 1930, when there were just 54 hospitals taking care of soldiers, we now have over 1,700 medical centers throughout the U.S. taking care of our aging vets. Did you know that the last World War I veteran was Frank Buckles, who died in February of 2011 at the age of 110? And regarding World War II vets, according to the statistics released by the Veterans Administration, our World War II vets are dying at a rate of approximately 550 a day. This means there are approximately only 1.2 million veterans remaining of the 16 million veterans who served our nation in World War II. The Veterans Administration, their organization changed dramatically in 1988 when the Veterans Affairs Act changed the status of an administration to that of an independent department with a presence at the cabinet-level meetings. This law was signed by Ronald Reagan in 1988, but did not go into effect until March the 15th, 1989, under the presidents George H.W. Bush. Now, this quote from Wikipedia. In their major reform period of 1995 to 2000, the Veterans Health Administration implemented universal primary care, closed 55% of their acute care hospital beds, increased patients treated by 24%, had a 48% increase in ambulatory care visits, and decreasing staff by 12%. By 2000, the VHA had 10,000 fewer employees than in 1995 and a 104% increase in patients treated since 1955, and had managed to maintain the same cost per patient day, while all of the facility's costs had risen over 30 to 40% during the same period. I will leave you with that quote, and we'll get back to it a little bit more as we finish this discussion on the department. Now, as to the organization of the Department of Veteran Affairs, it is headed by a cabinet-level administrator appointed by the President of the United States. From their website, the Department of Veterans Affairs states that it has three main subdivisions: Veterans Health Administration, Veterans Benefits Administration, and the National Cemetery Administration. Now, the Veterans Health Administration takes care of the medical assistance programs available to veterans, such as the operation of VA medical centers, outpatient clinics, community-based outpatient clinics, and VA community living centers programs, those more commonly referred to as VA nursing homes. The VHA, or Veterans Health Administration, is the largest element of the three units. Note, the military health system is in no way part of the VA system. The second of these three parts is the Veterans Benefit Administration. It is that portion of the Veterans Administration that administers programs that provide financial and other forms of assistance to veterans, but not medical assistance. The VBA, or Veterans Benefits Administration, takes care of disability compensation, dependent and indemnity compensation. These are the benefits paid to survivors of vets who died while in service or who died from a service-connected disability, pension programs, and burial and interment allowances. Also, education programs such as the GI Bill, dependent educational service, and post-9/11 education assistance programs. Now, insurance programs, which include life insurance, service-disabled veterans insurance, a loan guarantee program, which assists vets in buying homes, and other assistance programs to vets, such as specially adapted housing grants, Native American direct home loans, loans servicing assistance, vets mortgage life insurance, and service members traumatic injury protection. And lastly, a vocational rehabilitation and employment program to assist veterans with service-connected disabilities. Now, the last element of this VA threesome is the National Cemetery Administration. It maintains 131 of 147 national cemeteries throughout the United States, Hawaii, and Puerto Rico. There are additional veterans cemeteries such as Arlington and the United States Soldiers and Airmen's Home National Cemetery, but they are maintained by the Army, and 14 additional cemeteries are maintained by the National Park Service. Additionally, the American Battle Monuments Commission maintains 24 American military cemeteries overseas. After looking at these three entities, one would think there is a very simple and basic organizational setup to help veterans from what we've seen so far. Now, this generally would end the activities of the Veterans Affairs Department, but no. When looking at the organizational chart, one finds that these three very important aspects of the Department of Veterans Affairs are overshadowed by an overload. Now, these are my words and my opinion of organizations as to other aspects of the bureaucracy that oversees the Veterans Affairs Department. Working from the bottom up, where the three primary administrations lie, we find seven assistant secretaries organizationally above the three administrations. We have the Assistant Secretary for Management, the Assistant Secretary for Information and Technology, the Assistant Secretary for Policy and Planning, an Assistant Secretary for Operations, Security and Preparedness, an Assistant Secretary for Human Resources and Administration, Assistant Secretary for Public and Intergovernmental Affairs, and lastly, the Assistant Secretary for Congressional and Legislative Affairs. Now, above this grouping of assistant secretary, we find another group of six directly shooting off of the chief of staff, and these are the Advisory Committee Management Office, the Center for Faith-Based and Neighborhood Partnerships, NGO Gateway Initiative Office. These are non-governmental organizations, the Federal Recovery Coordination Office, Veterans Service Organization Liaison, and lastly, the Office of Survivors Assistance. Now, I did a quick look at what this Advisory Committee Management Office did, and there I found not just one committee, but 24 separate and distinct advisory committees relating to all aspects of the Veterans Administration activity, including a committee on education, one for former prisoners of war, and even a committee on geriatrics and gerontology. and 21 others. Now, I quote from the Geriatrics and Gerontology Committee Charter. This is dated July the 5th, 2012, and signed by the Secretary of Veterans Affairs himself. The committee, this is a quote, will be composed of approximately 12 members, and the majority of the committee's membership will be special government employees. And if you'd like to know what a special government employee is, I suggest you either email me or just Google it. It's quite an interesting read in of itself. Now, still another offshoot from the Secretary and Chief of Staff is a grouping of four, including the Office of Small and Disadvantaged Business Utilization, the Office of Employment Discrimination Compliant Adjudication, Center for Women's Veterans, and a Center for Minority Veterans. The last management group coming off the Secretary and Deputy are the General Counsel, Board of Veterans Appeals, Inspector General, Acquisition, Logistics, and Construction. Now, I wanted to get a little bit of a closer look at one of these segments, and when looking at this group, you have a general idea of, you know what the General Counsel does and his staff. You know basically what a Board of Veterans Appeals does as far as handling appeals by veterans, and you also know that the Inspector General makes sure there's no cheating going on. But what does Acquisition, Logistics, and Construction do? Now, you have to start getting into the small print, so to speak, so here goes. The OALC, or the Office of Acquisition, Logistics, and Construction, is structured in three major organizational components: the Office of Acquisition and Logistics, Office of Acquisition Operations, and lastly, the Office of Construction and Facilities Management. Running this OALC is a principal executive director under whom are three persons. One, a deputy assistant secretary for the Office of Acquisitions and Logistics, under whom are four additional associate deputy assistants and one chancellor. Then there is an executive director for Office of Acquisition and Operations, under whom are two associate executive directors, two directors, and one acquisition technical advisor. And finally, the executive director for the Office of Construction and Facilities Management, under whom are five more associate executive directors. Folks, let me tell you something. Anytime you put a deputy name on it, or an assistant deputy name, or a director name, these are high-level jobs that are paying lots and lots of money. Now, I bet you're all wondering why in heaven's name I went to all this trouble to regurgitate these folks with an Office of Acquisition, Logistics, and Construction. I wanted you, the listener, to see the extent of the sprawl of bureaucracy that has taken place within the executive branch of government and specifically within the Department of Veterans Affairs. Also, I wanted you to realize that these government employees all have staffs and underlings that work for them. Further, they have locations other than just Washington, D.C. So listeners, if you've ever wondered how government has grown so big, this is why. Now, according to Wikipedia, and as of 2013, the Department of Veterans Affairs employs a total of 312,000 persons and has an annualized budget of $78.4 billion. This is 2013 numbers. The Veterans Affairs Administration states it has the responsibility for over 1,700 sites providing care to 8.7 million veterans. As usual, I tried to find a number for executive staffing or a management-to-worker ratio, but again, I was not successful in this endeavor. The VA, from its own performance results, stated that it only achieved their target performance a mere 50% of all measures. Of the targets not achieved, over 20% not achieved didn't even improve the performance from the previous years in this case, which was from 2012 to 2013. I truly do believe that the majority of personnel within the VA are hardworking, dedicated employees that want to help the veterans and their families. But just listen to the news or Google Veterans Affairs and you will find horror story after horror story about what is happening within the VA. And finally, let me say this. When government takes on too much, it generally does not do it better. Bigger is not better, especially when it comes to government. I hope you've enjoyed this presentation on the Department of Veterans Affairs and have learned something new. Well, until next time in our next Did You Know show, keep your powder dry and your silver coins in your pocket.